Glad to be together. It's always a privilege to be able to come be a part of Truth Retreat. I guess the last couple of Truth Retreats here at this campground, we had other obligations, was not able to make it, but we sure are thankful to be here tonight. I'm glad to see you. Good to see some new faces as well. At least they're new to me. And some of you from Truth Camp. What a time we had at Truth Camp back in June. Just thankful for God's work there. Amen. If you have your Bibles, let's get into the Word of the Lord tonight. Job chapter 23. Job chapter number 23 is where we want to take our text this evening. And I know that the evening is moving on, but I trust we're not in any hurry to do anything except to let the Lord have His way. Amen. And well, thank you. There's two of you. Let me ask again. We just want the Lord to have His way, amen? All right. And I believe the Lord wants to do that tonight. Speak to us. Job 23, and we're going to start reading in verse number 1. And if you are there with me in Scripture, why don't you say amen? Amen. The Bible says, "Then Job answered and said," I want you to listen very carefully. He says, "Even today is my complaint bitter. My stroke is heavier than my groaning. Oh, that I knew where I might find him, that I might come even to his seat. I would order my cause before him and fill my mouth with arguments. I would know the words which he would answer me and understand what he would say unto me." Let's look down at verse number 8. Verse number 8, he says, "Behold, I go forward, but he is not there, and backward, but I cannot perceive him. On the left hand where he doth work," somebody say left hand, "but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." Verse 10, "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. My foot hath held his steps. His way have I kept and not declined." If I can direct your attention to verse number 9, I want to use verse 9 tonight, if you will, as kind of a point to launch from in regards to this message tonight. But verse 9 says, "On the left hand where he doth work, but I cannot behold him. He hideth himself on the right hand that I cannot see him." For just a few moments of time tonight, I want to preach. Lord really began to deal with me about this message here in the last couple of weeks, and just could not escape this thought and just want to obey Him tonight. But I want to preach for a moment on the thought, living on the left side of God. Amen. Won't you look at your neighbor and ask him, say, "Are you living on the left side of God?" Go ahead and ask him. Are you living on the left side of God? Can we pray one more time? Father, we thank you again for this night that we have to come together to worship. We're thankful for every heart represented in this house, every church, every ministry, Lord, that has made all of this possible. And we pray once again that you would anoint our hearts and ears to receive of your word. Let your word come alive in our hearts, Lord, and let it be planted deep within the fertile ground of our soul. I pray tonight, as it's already been mentioned, let us leave here differently than the way that we have come. And truly, we will give you all the thanks and all the praise for what you will do in this house tonight. And truly, we ask, Lord, anoint my mind and lips to preach as would glorify you. We thank you for it, Lord, and we ask it in Jesus' name. And one more time, everyone said, amen and amen. You can be seated. praise the Lord, living on the left side of God. I want you to notice here that one of the things that I love about the story of Job is there is a whole lot of transparency that is evidenced in this, if you will, this biography of Job. We know about the permission that Satan had asked God as to if he would allow him to attack, if you will, or to put his hand against Job. As a matter of fact, before I say that, actually, it was the Lord had told Satan, said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And Satan had told God, said, "Listen," said, "it'll be hard in order to get him to turn from you because you put this hedge around him. He's protected. He is a man that has been blessed beyond measure." Job, we know his story as, just a multitude, a plethora of blessings that he had. His crops were blessed and his cattle were blessed and all that he had, his sons and daughters, everything. But yet we know the testing that had come against Job and in his life, how not only he had lost all of his goods and had lost his family, but even his health was afflicted. God had told Satan, said, "You can do what you will, but you can't take his life from him." And as a result of this, we see in this book the suffering of Job. And if that wasn't enough, we also come to find as to where Job didn't have what I would consider the best of friends. As a matter of fact, if you have friends like that, you really don't need many enemies, as they was often questioning Job and his commitments to God. And, "Well, maybe Job, you've done this, and maybe you've done that." And we know about Job's wife. She came to him and said, "It'd probably just be best if you would just curse God and die. Let's just get this over with, all this suffering and all this misery." And yet in this, we know that Job had stayed faithful. As a result of this, when I talk about the transparency of the book of Job, we come to see, and what I love about this 23rd chapter is the fact that Job is just very honest and open. And he says, "I have some complaint. I have some situations. I have some problems." Now, I believe that Job was aware that God was aware of his situation. But in this, we see as he says, "I am trying to find him. I am trying to understand him. I am trying to see where he is at. And in all of my searching and in all of my looking, I cannot seem to find him. Said, if I could," you can read it right here what we did. He said, "I would let my complaint be known unto him. I would lift my voice and I would cry. If I could just get access to his seat, if I could get to the throne, if I could get to the place, I would lay my petitions out before him." But he says, "I can't find him anywhere. I can't perceive him." And as he is laying out this complaint, he begins to describe. He said, "Look," he said, "it's on his left hand where he works," he said, "but I haven't found him there. And on his right hand," he said, "over there," he said, "he hides himself." You see, here just a few months back, several of us were gathered around at Truth Camp, and the glory of the Lord met us there. I mean, we had wonderful services, and the anointing of God was there, the power of God. And I love those moments. I love times like that, the refreshing of the Holy Ghost. I love to see young people weeping and crying in the altars, and the Lord so real and close. But I believe with all of my heart that God has been dealing with me, because there are some of us that are in this building tonight. And this message may not be for everybody, but it's for somebody. But there's some of us that are here tonight that after all of the shouting's been done and all of the dancing's been over and all of the wonderful things that took place a couple of months back have kind of simmered down in our lives, there might be some that would say, "Brother Jacob, there is no doubt that God did some very real things in my life. There's no doubt that God has been speaking, and I I believe he's working. But if I could be honest, if I could be transparent, if I could really let people know how I was feeling, I'm at a place right now in my life. I'm at a place in my walk with God that if I'm honest, I feel like my prayers don't get much higher than the ceiling. I feel like at times everybody else is getting in and I'm struggling. I'm stuck. I'm trying to find him and I cannot seem to find him. I go to the prayer meetings. I've been to the youth services. I've been to the rallies. But if I could be honest and testify, Brother Jacob, I find myself in a struggle. Come on here. Oh, I done made up my mind. I know we're not going to run the aisles tonight. But I want to get real honest and real truthful with you. Because you see what happens is a lot of times, I believe it's safe to say, every one of us that are in here, and I believe you wouldn't be here if you didn't love the power of God. You didn't love the power of his presence. And the word of God indicates as to where oftentimes the right hand is symbolized of power. It is symbolized of might. It is symbolized of strength. It is symbolized of sovereignty. When we look at the word of God reminds us in Psalms 118 and 15, it says the voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacles of the righteous. Listen to this. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doeth valiantly. Psalm 16 and 11. He says, thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand are pleasures forevermore. Isaiah 41 and 10 says, fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Hebrews 1 and 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. I know tonight, if you're like me, I love when I feel like I'm living on the right hand of God. I love when I feel his presence. I love when I feel his power. I love when it seems like everything seems to fall easy and the anointing is there and everything is running right and the will of God is abundantly clear. We love when we get into his presence and you begin to feel the power of the Holy Ghost igniting a fire inside of you. We love to sing and feel the glory like a cloud as it'll fill a tabernacle. Have you ever been in a service where you felt like you was going to get raptured on out of the building? I've been there. Have you ever been there where the power of God's been so real? You lay down in your bed and you can't sleep because you're still reminiscing and feasting upon what God can do. Come on here. We love to live on the right hand of God. Is there anybody here that you found his right hand to be powerful, to be mighty? Have you been there when the right hand has reached way down to pull you out of some stuff? Come on here. Have you been there when all you could do, like we were singing earlier, is call on the name of Jesus and you're reminded of the scripture that says, my arm is not too short that it cannot reach and it cannot save. I'm glad for some right-handed moments of God in my life. Come on here. You've got permission to say amen tonight. I'm thankful for right-handed moments. Those times where it's just wonderful and good. everything. You heard what the psalmist said. He said, the right hand of the Lord, it does valiantly. It's exalted. It's strong. It's mighty. The word of God, we find where the right hand, often in the Old Testament, it was referred to as to the right hand of blessing. It symbolized authority. It symbolized power. It symbolized position and prestige. All was signified in his right hand. And Job had said, he said, I looked on his right hand and he hid himself. He said, I'm at a place in my life. He said, where I'm looking over there, I'm looking for revival. I'm looking for that feeling. I'm looking for that shout. I'm looking, to be stirred, but I can't seem to find it. But I want you to notice as to where what Job does signify. He says, listen, he said, on his left hand. He said his left hand, and I found something that really captivated me there, because he simply uses a word that a lot of people don't like to use. Work. Come on here. Oh, to some people, that's a cuss word. They don't like to think about work. If some folks could, it'd be a permanent vacation. Their life would be. The Word of God reminds us that work is honorable. That work is good, but you know how it is, those of you, especially adults in this room, you know how it is after busy weekend and Monday morning, the alarm clock's going off and you've got things you've got to do, responsibilities to tend to, whatever the case might be. Work is tough, and it's not just in the job situation. You young people will come to find everything you do in life, it revolves around that word work. There's always work involved if it's going to be anything good. And Job said this, I want you to notice. He said, I have my complaints. I have these issues. I'm hurting. I'm wondering. I've got some questions. He said, I'm trying to find God. He said, but I've noticed on the left hand, that's where God is working. Come on here. That's where God is doing something. I want to tell somebody tonight, even though maybe it's been a little while since you felt the shout, or hey, listen, I'll just be honest, us as Pentecostals, we sometimes put a whole lot more emphasis on the external things. We think if we're not shouting, we think if everybody's not running the aisles, we think if everybody ain't on level 10, then oh boy, we're backsliding. But I'm going to tell you, you can't live there all the time. There's some dark places. There's some valleys. There's some areas in our lives you're not going to shout about, but I came to let somebody know tonight, it could very well be. Don't you dare let the devil tell you that you've lost out with God. I'm believing tonight somebody's going to leave here saying, I just realized I'm living on the left side of God, because he's working. He's working. Throughout history, there's been quite a bit of criticism and bias against lefties. Who's left-handed in here? Raise your hand. Oh, I should have known Sister Karen Brown was left-handed. I tell you what. Lefties, one more time, hold them up. All right, you see now, guys, be proud that you're left-handed, but you're outnumbered. Statistics say that about 15% of the population is left-handed. Did you know that almost in every culture that the left hand is looked at as weak? It is looked at as immoral in some countries. There are some as to where the discrimination goes so far as to where there's often cultures that say the left hand, it is clumsy. Now listen, I'm reading statistics. I'm not calling any of y'all clumsy or weak or inferior or anything of that nature. But let's just think about it. Have you ever, you might say, Brother Goodwin might be introducing Brother Lucas to somebody, and he might say, he's my right-hand man, right? That's what you hear. If you are clumsy, you never seen somebody who was clumsy at sports, and you've never heard an announcer say, "Oh man, they've got two right feet." You never heard that. But you probably have heard, "Oh, they've got two left feet," right? For a long time in history, most tools and machinery were created for right-handed men and women. There's a big discrepancy and discrimination against the left hand. It says immoral, to show discord, inferior, improper, unholy, and unclean. These are just to name a few. But when you look in the Hebrew language, we find as to where it's interesting that the left was symbolized as custody. God's custody, and to attribute God's omnipotence over the universe. I want to stop here for just a second. As Job was saying, he said, listen, he said, he's working on the left. I'm here on the left side, and this is where he works. And on the left hand, like I said, everybody's shouting on the right hand, but it gets quiet, and sometimes it gets lonely on the left hand. Oftentimes it is the place where the battle rages. Think about this for a moment. As Job had been attacked in his body, he'd been attacked by his friends and by his own family. He suffered great loss. But Brother Samson, one of the great battles that was going on was in his mind. Can you imagine what it was when he's sitting there in his misery and he says, "I'm trying, Brother Wright," he was trying. "I'm trying to find him." Can you imagine? I'm sure the enemy just pulled up a chair right there in the corridors of his mind and said, "Oh, it must be a lonely place. You ain't finding God right now. It must be real lonely. All that talk about giving up on God. Are you ready to curse him now? Are you realizing you've been abandoned? Are you realizing?" But yet there was something inside of Job. And can I tell somebody tonight that as the enemy wants to isolate you, as he wants to deteriorate God's work in your heart and life, I came to tell you that I believe there's no better place to be than on the left side of God. Why? Number one, because as the Hebrew language says, it refers to the fact he still has custody over me. He's still sovereign. He's still omnipotent. He's still all powerful. He put the stars into space. He called the planets and told them where to set. I want to let somebody know that even when you feel lonely and isolated, on the left side of God, you've not escaped his hand. You've not escaped his presence. David said, "Where shall I go from thy presence?" He said, "I can't get away from it." He said, "If I took on the wings of the morning and ascended into the heavens," he said, "you'd be there. If I made my bed in hell, you'd be there." Come on here. I want to let somebody know tonight who's feeling isolated, who's wondering if God's done give up on you. You say, "I feel I'm on the left side. Things have been cold and things have been difficult." I'm just letting you know you're still within his reach. You're still under his ownership. Oh, that Hebrew language said it shows that he still has that ownership of everything. He is still sovereign over it all. When we look at this, I want you to understand is that God is not going to allow you. I know we know the scripture. I know we can quote him verbatim, but I want to remind you tonight that he is one that will go with you until the ends of the world. That's what he told his disciples. I want to remind you tonight that there's not a hair that falls from your head that God's not mindful of. You cannot escape the eye of God as he sees you in every place. I want to remind you tonight that as we look at this, and that God is working. The Word of God reminds us, as we all know, Romans 8:28, that says, "For we know that all things work together for the good of them that love God and who are the called according to his purpose." The Word of God reminds us as well that He can do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ever ask or think, according to the power that works in us. When we see this, I want you to understand the Word of God. David declared in Psalms 139 and 10, he says, "Even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me." Now he specified, thy right hand will hold me. He said, but with your left hand, he said, with the left hand, he said, he's going to lead me. This was the same man who said, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He leadeth me besides the still waters, and he makes me to lie down in green pastures." I'm probably not quoting that right, forgive me. But you understand what I'm saying. He says, "I want you to lead me." You see, sometimes when God is working, there are times that we are often convinced that everything in the will of God must be perfect. Check one, two. Okay, let's make sure. We are often convinced that everything in the will of God must be perfect. And it's not. It's not. You see, David was talking about testing when he said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he said, "thou art with me." He said, "thy rod and thy staff, they'll comfort me." When we talk about times of testing on the left hand, can I tell you, you may not necessarily understand everything you're walking through tonight. And you might say, "I don't know, Brother Jacob. I wish I did know, but I don't know tonight exactly where God is, what He's doing with me, where He's leading me, what's going on." Have you ever been in those moments where somebody would say something like, "Well, what's God doing in your life right now?" And you just kind of stumble over your words. You're trying to find out. I remember as a senior in high school, I dreaded when people would say things like, "So what are you going to do after school?" Because there were days where I thought God's will was very clear. And then there were times it just seemed as dark as it could be. And I didn't know. But Brother Sean, what I was realizing, looking back, the whole time, the left hand of God was leading me. He was leading me. Come on here. Can I say tonight, if you will just be sensitive to the fact and say, "Lord, would you lead me?" You're going to find that on his left hand, David said here, he said, "I'm going to lead you." If he says, "Go this way," or if he says, "I want you to go this way," whatever the case might be, can I tell you tonight, you can trust the leadership of God. There are times that we get to kicking and screaming because we come up to some doors that are closed. We see some things and we think it's not working the way we wanted it to. It's not going the way that we thought it would. I can tell you tonight, there are many times that I can look back in my life and I can say, "Thank you, Lord, that that door stayed closed. And thank you, Lord, that you said no here. And thank you, Lord, that that one, that seemed out of reach. And thank you, Lord, that that didn't come to fruition." And there were times, yes, I was frustrated. There were times I thought God's got it all wrong. But I can look back and say, "Thank you, Lord. I was living on the left side. You were leading me in paths of righteousness for your name's sake, for your glory, for your purpose, for your divine will and plan." Leading. You have probably heard the story, but I love this story. It's a wonderful illustration of the Lord's leadership. In 1912 in Scotland, there was the Clark family. They had worked for years saving all of their family. A family of nine had saved their money because they were looking to immigrate to the United States of America. Saved all of their money and all of their hard work and their hours of labor. There was word that there was a ship that was going to be coming, that was going to be going into New York City. As they had spent all their money to purchase tickets to board the ship for the family of nine, the day before they were to embark on the voyage, their youngest son had got bit by a dog. They took the boy to the doctor. The doctor sewed him up, got him stitched up. And after that, they came by and they put a yellow tag on his house, which meant that he had to be quarantined because they were afraid that he had rabies. The father was irate. He went down to the dock steaming mad, just carrying on as he watched the ship, everybody board. He couldn't get a refund on his ticket. Everybody's on board. Everybody's happy, excited. They're leaving for America. But not him. His son had to be out there fooling around, got bit by the dog. Mr. Clark cursed his son, cursed at God. He was so upset. It was when they had found out that that ship in 1912 was the Titanic that had sank before it ever got into New York. Said the story says that Mr. Clark went back and grabbed his son up in his arms and kissed him and said, "You don't know it and you don't understand." He said, "But you saved our family." What seemed like a tragic situation. What seemed like, he was so mad and infuriated over what was going on. And yet the whole time, God was showing mercy and God was sparing him and all of his children in the midst of that. Can I tell you tonight, the devil wants you to sit around somewhere and say, "God forgot about me and God doesn't care and God don't do this for me and God don't do that." But I dare somebody to square their shoulders and tell the devil he can shut his mouth, because you realize God is leading me with the left hand. He's opening the right doors and closing the wrong. He's putting me in those paths, oh, that are going to benefit us, going to work. Come on here. He's perfecting us. He's doing the work. Oh, living on that left side, custody, and also the leadership of God. The Song of Solomon, chapter 2, verse number 6. The Word of God says, "His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me." As I was reading this, my mind immediately went to when I was 4 years old. My first cousin was born. And I remember, I was so excited at that point. I'd been the only grandkid. And Cassie was born. And I was so excited I was going to have somebody to play with. And I still remember sitting on Grandma's sofa. And my Aunt Debbie set me down because I wanted to hold that baby so bad. I wanted to hold Cassie so bad. And she set me down. She said, I'm going to show you what to do. We're going to show you how to hold the baby. Is my baby in here? Ashlyn? Come here, sweetie. Come help Daddy for a second. My baby, she's 7 now. Brother Billy, would you grab me that chair for a second over there and just put it right here in the middle? I want you to help Dad. I sat in that chair and I was so excited. I was so excited to hold that baby. And it prepared me for the day. I've held a lot of babies since then. And the best day of my life when I held this baby. She's 7 now. She's all arms and legs. But she still loves to come to the chair and she'll say, "Dad, just snuggle with me." That's some of my favorite time of the day. But I want you to get a picture. The Word of God said, there in the Song of Solomon, he said, "His left hand he puts under my head." I remember my aunt saying, "We got to support her neck. You got to put her like this." And I held my first baby cousin just like this and said, "With his right hand doth he hold me." How many of you mamas and daddies in this room ever spent some nights, aunts and uncles, grandmas and grandpas? Oh, can I tell you, listen here, this girl, when she's like this, this is the safest place you'll ever be. Come on here. You see, when you're living on the left side of God, Brother Sean, he said with his left hand, he's got me. He's supporting me. His right hand, he's holding me. Come on here. You might feel like, you might be feeling like you're alone. You might be feeling like, I've said it enough tonight, you're feeling like, where's God in all this? Job said, I can't perceive him. I don't know where he's at. I don't understand. I've looked for him and I can't find him. But I believe that somewhere inside of his spirit, Job finally was taking reconciliation, said, maybe I can't find him. Because it could just be, you know, there's some things you can be so close to that you can't see it. And there are times, I think, in our lives where we think God is abandoned, but God's holding on to us. And he's saying, hang on, I've got you right now. I've got you right now. Thank you, Sissy. We look at these times in our lives, and I want to let you know tonight that we serve a God. Yes, there is great power in his right hand. But on his left hand, he's working. He's still got custody. He's still got everything in order. He's still leading and he is supporting. He's holding on to you. Can I tell you tonight that I believe that if you're here in this house, you'd say, Brother Jake, it could very well be that I find myself living there on the left side of God. You are in the best place possible tonight, because here's the good news, is that God is, there's a term for those who are just as cunning with one hand as they are the other. God is ambidextrous. Amen. What he can do with the right hand, he's just as good with his left hand. What he can do over here with the right, Job said, I'm learning he can do it over here. You see, with this left hand, when you talk about work, you see, you got to talk about his patience. He's long-suffering. He is meticulous. Everything God does, he does it on purpose, and he does it with precision. He is there with the greatest precision, carving everything in your life if you will allow him to. Don't fight the left side. Embrace it. Run to it. Tell him, say, God, if you're going to work on me, hide me in the left side. Do a work that can't be undone. Do a work that can't be disputed. Do a work that I know is perfect and complete and entire. Just let me stay right over here, Lord, while you're working. Over here on this left side. I may not understand it all. You won't understand it all. But I can tell you this much, is God is never, ever going to forsake you. He's never going to quit working on your behalf. He is perfecting us. He's doing some things even when we cannot see. When I cannot see him, when I cannot find him, Job said, I'm learning that he's working. I want to read this music, if you'll come, and then I'm going to close. We were reading earlier in the text where the Word of God says this. Earlier in the text it said, where we read in verse number 10, Job, after saying all of this, he said, I can't see him, but I know he's working there on his left hand. Verse 10, we read, he says, but he knows the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Verse 11, my foot hath held his steps, his way have I kept and not declined. Verse 14, we didn't read this until now, but verse 14 says, listen, for he performeth the thing that is appointed for me. Did you know God has some appointments for you? God's got some divine appointments. I believe this truth retreat is one of those divine appointments. Not because I'm here or anybody else, but simply because God wants to help himself to your life. He wants to give some leadership, some direction. I want to see tonight, I said, Lord, I want to see some young people that can leave here where maybe they came in with question marks and wondering. And I'm not guaranteeing that you're going to have all the answers when you leave here tonight. But you can have the satisfaction in your soul and the understanding that even when I don't have all the answers, he always does. And he's working. He's leading me. He's guiding me. Isn't no shame in not always knowing in which direction and what to do. If you were to interview me, I could tell you there's been a lot of times, a lot of places in my life where I wasn't for sure. There's been on more than one occasion where I've said, Lord, if this is your will, I'm not so sure if I want to be in your will, if this is your will. Now you can look at me funny, but everybody in here has been there. Some of you are there tonight. And it's fine. It doesn't mean you're not spiritual. It doesn't mean you're backslid. It certainly doesn't mean God doesn't love you. But I do want to encourage you tonight. Trust the fact. Trust the fact He's still got custody. Trust the fact He's still leading. Trust the fact He's still working. Trust the truth that He's embracing you. He's supporting you. With every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Father, I thank you. And I give you praise and glory for all that you do. Thank you tonight, Lord, for everything that I know that you have accomplished in the lives of these young people. And Lord, tonight I believe with all of my heart that your word is here tonight to challenge, as maybe there are some that feel they're standing at crossroads, feel that maybe they've been trying to find you and trying to see what direction to go. Some that tonight there are some very critical decisions in their life. Some that are leaving school or already graduated. And some, Lord, maybe with decisions about career. Maybe decisions about relationships. Decisions about your perfect will and your plan for their life. Father, I pray that you would encourage the hearts tonight that feel lonely, that feel isolated, that feel like they can't seem to connect. They struggle with the idea of knowing exactly which step to take. But I believe tonight, as we've heard your word, to remember that as we find ourselves on the left side of you, it doesn't spell inferiority or weakness or struggle, but Lord, it speaks still of your power, your custody, your leadership, your support, your work. And Lord, we know your work is perfect. Father, tonight I pray even now, let the Holy Ghost tenderize the hearts of these young people. Help them, Lord, that from the very most sincere places of their being, that they would diligently seek you in these altars. That they would diligently seek after your plan, and Lord, that they would be encouraged by your Spirit tonight. I'm going to ask, if you will, why don't we stand all over this house? And as Brother Dustin begins to minister, what I want to do first, before I invite you to come, would you just lift both those hands to heaven right now? Both those heavens, that's a universal sign of surrender right there. Oh, get both those hands up, the right hand, the left hand. Lord, I'm surrendering my all to you. I'm giving it all over to you tonight, Jesus. Come on, let's praise him tonight. Lift your voice to heaven and tell him, Lord, here I am. Here I am. I'm a little broken. I'm a little wounded. I'm a little confused right now in this place of life, but I'm trusting you, Lord. I believe tonight. I even see that I'm living on the left side. I see where you're working. Even now, through the course of this message, the Holy Ghost has been directing my attention as to what you're doing on my behalf. Thank you, Lord. I want some of you to praise him for doors that he's closed, some things that he's cut off, some things that he's shut down, some areas that he's leading you in. It hasn't been popular. Maybe it hasn't felt real good. But he's growing you. He's growing you. Oh, maybe tonight you say, I realize he's holding me. He's leading me. Come on, church. Come on. The devil would love for you to be discouraged. He would love for you to be defeated. He would love for you to leave this truth retreat the same way you came. But I believe there's a host of young people that is living on the left side of God. God. And the enemy is intimidated because he knows what you're capable of. When God does a work, when God completes a work in you, you'd say, Brother Jake, I want him to do the work. I want him to lead me. I want him to guide me. I want him to reveal he's still got custody of me. I want to live on the left side of God. Why don't we come? Come on. Let's fill the front of these altars. Come on, young men, young ladies. Gather in round here nice and tight. Lift those hands to heaven. Oh, I believe there's some you're going to leave here saying, I believe the will of God has been made clear, been made plain. Tonight, God has confirmed some things in my heart and my life. Come on, young men.
I am not alone. You will go before me. You will never leave me. When I walk through deep waters, I know that you will be with me. When I'm standing in the fire, I will not be overcome. Through the valley of the shadow,